Let us pray. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our only strength and our only Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. One of the minor dilemmas that I have is that when we cancel a service for whatever reason, the question arises, what do I do with the sermon that I've already prepared? My general habit is to preach from one of the appointed lessons for the day, which change from week to week. So I have three choices. I can discard the sermon that I prepared, or I can prepare a new sermon based on one of the appointed lessons for today, or preach the sermon that I prepared anyway. Well, I've decided that since the sermon that I had prepared was on what is probably the most familiar passage of Scripture, I decided to go with that. So as we know, next year will be the 250th anniversary of our nation, and a lot of celebrations are planned, but, and it might be get lost in our nation's anniversary, it is also the 25th anniversary of 9/11, when our nation was attacked. It's hard to believe, and for those of us who were around then, where were you when you heard the news, and what did you think was happening? My associate Neil was in Las Vegas at a sales meeting for a pharmaceutical company when the news reached them. And that morning, a general session was scheduled. Well, the producer knew that Neil was a Christian and also an ordained minister. So before they canceled the session, he asked Neil to read scripture and pray. Neil read a psalm that most people, even non-Christians, are familiar with, the 23rd Psalm, a psalm that is often read to comfort people. It is a psalm that people often put on prayer cards when someone passes away. In fact, when I was the pastor in Mount Laurel, I would often get called by the director of the local funeral home to officiate at funerals where the families did not have a church home or a pastor, and in most cases were not believers. The general thought, I think, was that if they have a pastor at their funeral, they think that everything will be okay with God. But anyway, I often used Psalm 23 in my short homily at the funeral because it expressed the great comfort that it was available for those who believed in God and were part of his family. But even more than the temporary comfort, it gave me the opportunity to tell people of the hope of eternal life for those who have trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord. I mean, what could be more comforting than those words in the last verse? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What great words. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The beautiful truth about this psalm is the comfort that it has given countless numbers of people through the years, and it is still there for us as 21st century Christians. I would encourage you to read it often, especially when times are tough, as God, through his servant David, gives us great comfort and assurance. And so I read it from what is affectionately known as the Authorized Version, the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I could just leave it there and let you meditate on those words, but I'd like to point out just a few things, and this is by no means exhaustive. And let me put it another way. I was at a Bible study one time where it took us almost a whole year just to go through this psalm. We went through it monthly, once a month, and it took us almost a whole year. If you really want to get into the psalm, I'd encourage you to go online, look up Matthew Henry's commentary, or Spurgeon's A Treasury of David, which is commentary on the Psalms. And they're all available free online, and you can look it up and read what they have to say about it. And so what do we see, though? We see the incredible words of the very first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. You want to know why this psalm is of great comfort? It's in these opening words. The Lord is my shepherd. Think about this for a moment. We have the pre-existent God who was and always will be, who knows the end from the beginning. He is the creator and sustainer of the universe. The one who knows all the stars by name, and we could never number the stars. I was looking up online to see how many stars the scientists say there were, and it was, I think, 23, no, I forget the name, but there was 23 zeros after the number. It was just a number that's incredible, and yet he knows them, our God knows them all by name. He knows the days of our lives. He knows how many hairs we have on our heads. And yet we have those very personal words. The Lord is my shepherd. This God, our God, has come down to us, his creation, as a shepherd. A shepherd that only wants the best for the sheep under his care. And we know that Jesus is the good shepherd who has come down to us. These words describe an intimate and personal relationship that God has with us. The Lord is my shepherd. And it should cause us to marvel in amazement. It should cause us to utter a collective, wow. Now, if we think about sheep, they are essentially defenseless. When they were out in the fields, they were in constant danger. This is precisely why they needed a shepherd, someone to watch out for them, someone to provide for them, and especially someone to protect them from all the dangers that were around them. David was a shepherd. He knew the danger that sheep were in. In fact, as we compare scripture with scripture, we know that he killed both a lion and a bear that were attacking the sheep under his care. And this is exactly what we see in the rest of the psalm, how the shepherd provides for the physical needs of the sheep and protects them from all types of danger. And so we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so what we see is that the sheep under the shepherd's care will lack nothing. All of their needs will be provided for. One translation says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will have everything that I need." And this is what David makes clear as he continues. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Here we see the basic needs of the sheep, food and water, grass and calm waters to quench their hunger and their thirst. No different from our basic needs of food and water. Now, as Christians, we know that God has promised to provide all of our needs. We have his promise on that, as Paul tells us in Philippians 4, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Peter emphasizes this when he tells us in the introduction to his first letter, which you've heard me quote numerous times, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. As I said a couple of weeks ago, the God who created us and placed us on this earth has been gracious enough to give us his word, the Bible. And in the Bible, we read how to live in the world that God has placed us in, but most importantly, how to gain access to the world to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, as David continues, we read, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The sheep that are provided food and water are revived. And not only are they revived, but they can trust the shepherd and they can continue to follow him. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, uses the example of sheep for those who follow him. And he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And so we see the protection and provision for those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives are not without difficulty. There will be times of deep spiritual hurt and sadness and physical hurt. None of us are exempt. As I also told you 2 weeks ago, December 8th would have been the 40th birthday of my Rachel. And I knew it was happening on December 8th. But then I opened up Facebook. And it said, it's Rachel Rosenberg's birthday today. Wish her good thoughts. Well, I didn't need to be reminded because she is rarely out of my thoughts. There was sadness, but also comfort in knowing that she was celebrating her birthday, if indeed they celebrate birthdays in heaven, knowing that she was in the presence of her God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was without pain and suffering, and we can say without the effects of sin in her life. And so I paraphrase, the good shepherd Jesus restored her soul. The good shepherd Jesus led her in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, because she belonged to the good shepherd. The Lord is her shepherd. Now, I usually listen to instrumental music as I prepare my sermon. It's a habit I got into years ago, and it helps me to concentrate. I was streaming an album by the Piano Guys, which is usually instrumental. But then there was a song with vocals that was playing. And as I was thinking about Rachel, the lyrics for this song were so appropriate. And they just hit me like the proverbial ton of bricks. It was a song called The Sweetest Gift. I had never heard it before. And the lyrics went this way. I'm not gonna lie. Christmas really hurts this time because you're not here to celebrate with me. Tears fill my eyes and memories flood my mind as I place your ornament upon a tree. Although this year I have a broken heart, it gives me hope and joy as I remember where you are. And then the chorus, you're with the Son of God. You're with the Prince of Peace. You're with the one we're celebrating. and that thought amazes me. Sometimes I still break down, grieving that we're apart, but the sweetest gift is knowing where you are. You're with the Son of God. But the sweetest gift is knowing where you are. You're with the Son of God. It doesn't get any better than that. So her earthly pilgrimage has ended, but we are still on here on this earth in our earthly pilgrimage. And we think about the fact that we can follow in the way of righteousness, as the psalm teaches, meaning that we can follow what God has revealed in his word. Will we do it perfectly? Obviously not. That is why we have the seasons that we are in, Advent and then the Christmas season, looking back at the birth of our Savior and looking forward to his second coming in glory. Remember, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I said, this means that all the needs of the sheep are provided for, including protection. And we see this as he continues. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Notice clearly that he does not say the valley of death, but the valley of the shadow of death. As Christians, we should be reminded that because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, his death, and his glorious resurrection, the sting of death has been removed. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, which is, we know it as the resurrection chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Death for the Christian is not the end. It is not defeat, but it is victory through Christ. I love what Spurgeon says. "Death stands by the side of the highway in which we have to travel, and the light of heaven shining upon him throws a shadow across our path. Let us rejoice that there is light, a light beyond. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." As I said earlier, I often did funerals at the request of the local funeral director. And funerals are a normal part of life. We all face the same end. Our physical bodies are temporary. We will all face, as David says, the shadow of death. None of us will escape it. But we know, we have the absolute assurance that as Christians, as those who have trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord, we do not need to fear death. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We can have comfort in knowing that our God and our Savior are always with us. And so let us take God at his word. Paul emphasizes this when he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Think about this in the context of what David says next. You prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A soldier in the presence of his enemies will eat something on the run. He just grabs something to fill his stomach. And yet for those who are under the care of the great shepherd, a banquet table will be set before him, even in the presence of his enemies, where he can eat his meals in perfect peace, protected by the good shepherd. And it's not a one-time thing, it's continual. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Day by day, we are anointed by God for whatever the day brings. In other words, God is never away from us. And for that, we can take comfort. Regardless of the difficulties, we know that we have been chosen by God, and God will give us more than we need to get through the circumstances of our day. And in the circumstances of the day, we have God's promise. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Whatever's happening, we can grasp hold of that truth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then the ultimate promise. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Doesn't get any better than this. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As those who have trusted in Christ as Savior and Lord, we know that we have been adopted into God's family. We are part of his household. We belong to the Lord who is our shepherd. And so, when our earthly lives are over, as it surely will come to pass someday, we know what awaits us. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is what the seasons of Advent and Christmas are all about. It's beyond the gift giving, the Christmas parties, the lights and carols, the special times with family and friends. Nothing wrong with any of these, but it's about the Savior. It's about Jesus, who came to earth for us and for our salvation, so that when our temporary earthly bodies finally give out, we know, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise be to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your words of comfort. And thank you for what we have to look forward to, knowing that we will dwell in your house forever. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.